Ephesians 4. And I'm going to take us through some things here tonight. I'm continuing with where I was at on Sunday. And then when I get back, I'm going to continue through this. It is crucial that we are grounded in this. And most preachers don't understand some of this stuff that I'm not trying to put them down or anything. I'm just saying I was there. Okay, as a pastor, I didn't understand a lot of this stuff. So most preachers don't understand this stuff. They don't, and it comes down to the fact that they don't know the doctrine of Christ. I'm telling you, that is the key right there. That it's, I can't overemphasize enough the doctrine of Christ, how important it is that we know that, because that really is the foundation of what we're going to, how we're going to grow and learn, and the knowledge that we have, it's going to be based on that, because that is the foundation. And this fits right with it. Obviously, we're looking at baptism, and that is a part of the doctrine of Christ. And this is why preachers don't know that, don't understand some of these things. It's set at 72 degrees, ladies. I'm telling you right now, someone doesn't believe me back there, but it's set at 72. I should take a picture and show you all. But it really is 72 degrees in here. It feels nice to me. I'm enjoying it. But I can tell you ladies are not, because like all bundled up, all of you, my wife's back there. But it's crucial that we understand these things. And I want you to know this better than preachers do. I want you to understand it, to grasp it, and to truly own these truths. And that's why I'm going to go over them so much. And a lot of it will be review, and a lot of it I hope you do know. One of the reasons I'm going over it is because when I ask questions, I'm slow to get answers sometimes, and I don't want that. I want the answers just coming quick. I want you to know them. So here we are looking at baptism. Now, Sunday we looked at the idea that Jesus Christ's own requirement for baptism was that the person needed to be a what? A disciple. Okay, where do we find that at? All right, John 4:1. All right, that's where we find that at. Okay, so Jesus' own requirement was somebody needed to be a disciple. And in a nutshell, there's a lot to being a disciple. I mean, you could just study the word throughout the New Testament. But again, my favorite place for, I think, a baseline definition of it is someone that continues in his word. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's it. Continue in his word, and he says, I'll keep showing you things. Okay, so a disciple is somebody that follows him. So goes to a reason then that if you're a disciple, you're going to get baptized, because that's the example he showed us. All right, so they need to be a disciple. Secondly, baptism is for the dead. We found that in Romans chapter 6. We're buried with him in the likeness of his death. And, I mean, I hit on that continually, that you're going into the water dead. That's why we are not to continue in sin. What shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What does he say? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So we're dead to sin. Well, how do we know that? Because the next verse, know ye not. Here's how you're dead to sin, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, what? We were baptized into his death. So baptism is for the dead. So when somebody is saying, I'm going into those waters, I'm going to be baptized, here's what they're saying. I'm dead to this world. Okay, let me tell you what that means. Because we think the world, and we think all these ungodly things of the world. You know what that means? That means my family that doesn't love God. I'm dead to my family that doesn't love God. I'm dead to my family that doesn't follow and serve God. I'm dead to my work that doesn't help me follow and serve God. I'm dead to those things. I'm dead to the influences of the world, just those worldly things that pull me away from God. I'm dead to that. That's what you're declaring when you go in those waters. You're telling everyone, I renounce the devil, the world, the flesh. That's what you're declaring right there when you go in those waters, because I'm dead to it. That's what Romans is talking about. So you're dead to the old man. You're raised to walk in newness of life. And it goes with this, where we're going to pick up here in Ephesians chapter 4. Baptism is putting off of the old and a putting on of the new, and a commitment to die daily. And that's what this is speaking of in Ephesians chapter 4, is that Paul said, I die daily. Well, it's a remembrance of me going back to my baptism where I was dead and saying, I need to continue to live that way. I need to continue to live that way. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now, who's he talking to here? He's talking to the church. All right, it says in verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Where are those guys at? In a church? Okay, why? For the perfecting of the saints. There it is again. Again, there, just that a saint, that's just more proof that a saint is a church member, or a church member is a saint, okay? For the perfecting of the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry. Here it is. For the edifying of what? The body of Christ. I don't, again, I just want to emphasize this as well, that I do not believe a saint is just someone that's saved. No, to be a saint, you have to be saved. But to be a saint, you have to be a church member. Okay, why? Because for the perfecting of the saints, that's the maturing, the growth of the saints, so the saints can do the work of the ministry. Why? So the saints can edify or build up the body of Christ. Well, that's the church. You see, there it is right there. It all fits right there. Okay, so this is the context of what it is. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. I forget how he words it at the beginning of Ephesians. Go back and look. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful. Here it is, in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be in Christ, okay? So that's the context of what he's talking about. So he's talking about saved people who have already been baptized, okay? Now, here's what he says. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Wait a minute, put him off. I thought they already did that. Well, they did, but guess what? We still have a flesh. We still have a flesh. So guess what they need to do? They need to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Look what he is, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. He deceives us. So we've got to keep putting him off. And anybody in here, if you're going to be honest, you're going to say, yeah, I put that old man on a lot, and I got to keep taking him off. I got to put him off. And that's what Paul's talking about here, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And look at this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, so baptism is a putting off the old and a putting on of the new. Now, the renewing of the mind is a decision to follow and seek to think like Jesus Christ. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's a choice that we make. We have to be renewed. But look what happens first. You have to put off the old man. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. So to renew your mind, you first have to be dead. Right? Do you see it? To renew your mind, to be able to take in the knowledge that God wants to impart to us, that God wants to give to us, to think like Jesus Christ, you have to be dead to the old man. That means I'm not, you know, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Continue in my word and ye shall know the truth, which is light. What's that saying? I'm going to get out of the darkness. I'm not going to be with the old man, puts us in the darkness. I'm going to be in the light so you can show me more light. Okay, so but first, before I can renew my mind and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, before that can happen, I have to be dead. Now, I think there's somewhere else that says the same thing. Can somebody help me? Romans 12. There we go. Let's go there. Save your spot in Ephesians. Go to Romans chapter 12. It's going to teach us the same thing. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I'll wait till you all get there, Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present, look at it, here it is, that you present your bodies a what? Isn't that death? That's death. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's coming up, watch it now, and be not conformed to this world, look at this, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Before your mind can be renewed with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you must first be dead. Okay, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Okay, that's renewing my mind. I have to be dead first before that can ever happen. I have to first be dead. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt. So that death needs to take place, okay? You need to renew your mind after putting off the old man and before putting on the new. See, I put on the new because my mind has been renewed. I mean, that's the order given here, and that you put on the new man. So, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So we put on the new man after we have renewed our mind. So that means we're spending time in the Word of God. It's teaching us, and through that, I'm able to put on the new man or live after Christ, live how Christ wants me to live. And where does all of this start? At our baptism. At our baptism. Because my baptism is my declaration that I'm dead to this world. And I'm raised up. I'm raised to walk in newness of life. And I need to go look back at that baptism, which declares my death to all of this stuff. So when we are struggling, when you're struggling with where you're at, you need to go back and look. See, we don't have to. Here's part of the problem, I think, why so many people doubt salvation is because they keep going back to their salvation instead. Where they need to go back to is their baptism and say, did I really die to self then? I'm not saying in every situation, but I think a lot of times they need to go back to their baptism and they never really made that decision because they're not taught it. I'm telling you, nobody's taught this. I was never taught any of this. It's just kind of glossed over. And here's what happens with most of this, at least in my understanding, what I've seen, what I've witnessed, is most of it, it's just going to take all this back to salvation. But this isn't what it is. That's not what it says. I mean, if you're seeing something different, tell me. Like, you can talk right now and tell me. Because I'm seeing this goes back to our baptism. Where's the old man put off? That's why I've brought us through this and I've showed us these things. Where are we a new creature? Where does that take place? At our baptism. That's where we become a new creature. See, and if I say something like that to most Christians, they're going to say, you're teaching baptismal regeneration. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. It's because you misunderstand Bible terms. That's why you think that. That's why you think that, because you don't understand what the Bible's saying. You've just taken it based off what somebody says, and it seems like it. For instance, being in Christ. Everyone's, that's salvation. It sure isn't. It sure is not salvation to be in Christ. But see, instantly, as soon as I start saying these things, I can see their arguments. And where do their arguments come from? Their arguments come from a lack of being on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Because they don't understand what the church is. That's where these arguments come from. So you could argue about what being in Christ is, but really that's not where the argument needs to be. The argument needs to be is that I'm talking about preachers that have been in the ministry 50 years. 40, 50 years. Been saved longer than I've been alive. Don't get this. And you can argue and sit there and argue with them, but the whole reason you're going to argue with them and they're not going to get any of this is because they don't even understand what the church is. They think that, you know, they believe in a spirit baptism. That's why they say to be in Christ is my salvation. And they don't get it. And they're not, most of them aren't willing to even look at what it says. And I'm telling you, just look at what the Bible says and don't read into it what you want, and you're going to come away with the same conclusion that I did. And they could say the same thing, but I could prove them wrong. And I believe I've shown us what it means to be in Christ several times. We may get some more of it again. But this is why they don't understand these truths. And this is why they think that what I'm even saying right now is talking about baptismal regeneration. Which is basically, they think I'm teaching that when you're saved, when you get baptized. And that's not at all what I'm teaching. That's not what the Bible teaches. But I'm telling you, those two are just like this. They're close, but they're not the same. They're not the same. And it's important we understand that they're not the same. So putting on the new man is a commitment to walk in newness of life because you're dead. It says in verse 24, So we're renewed in the spirit of our mind that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So putting on the new man is a commitment to walk in newness of life because I'm dead. And it's a decision that we make. Okay, wherefore putting, and that ye put on the new man. Who is he talking to here? If this is salvation, then he's talking to lost people. I mean, see, we don't actually look at what the Bible says, and we just assume, well, some preacher told me this, and you know, he's famous Amos. So it's got to be true because this is what some preacher told me. Well, who is he talking to? He's talking to a church. Now, if he's talking to a church, you have to be saved to be a part of the church. Now, this works for even if you want to believe in spirit baptism. Okay, even if, I mean, I don't believe in that, but even for those that believe in spirit baptism, I'm like, okay, is he talking to a church or are they saved people, yes or no? Even they're going to say yes because they've been spirit baptized, whatever. Okay, so fine. If you believe in the local church the way the Bible teaches it, or you believe in spirit baptism in the universal church, either way, they're both going to say, yes, he's talking to saved people. Okay, then, so what does it mean then? And that you put on the new man. He's talking to saved people and he's telling them to put on the new man. That's not salvation. It's not. I mean, it's that obvious. It's that simple. That's what it is. So what is it? It is a commitment to walk in newness of life because you're dead, because we are raised to walk in newness of life. That's the new man. Ephesians chapter 2. It says there in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There it is. We're created in Christ Jesus. That's that new man. That's what it's talking about. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Most of you would have this verse memorized, or once I start saying it, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He's a new creature. That's what it says. When he's in Christ. Well, what does it mean to be in Christ? And I know I keep saying these things over and over, but it's because people keep believing it wrong over and over instead of actually looking at what the Bible says. Galatians 6:15 says, for in Christ Jesus... All right, we're talking about being in Christ, being a part of his body. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. All right, now here's where they say that I'm teaching baptismal salvation, when in actuality they teach it. Now, some of you might be confused, okay? But look, if I believe in spirit baptism... Look, the verses I use to teach that being in Christ is our baptism and it puts us in his body. Okay, those that believe in spirit baptism and a universal church believe the same thing I do. With a twist. Now, I want you to follow me here. It makes sense. Because they're going to say, no, that's talking of being in Christ is salvation. And I'm saying, no, being in Christ puts you in his body. Now, we're both saying the same thing, but we're not. Why? I want you to connect the dots. Why? That's it. Because they believe salvation puts you in the universal church or the invisible body of Christ. That's why you'll hear them say, well, we're all the body of Christ. Don't go to church. Be the church. That's where that stuff comes from. We're saying the same thing, but they're wrong because they started with a bad foundation. Therefore, everything afterwards is going to be corrupt. Everything afterwards is going to be corrupt. See, if you start with the wrong premise, you're going to end up on the wrong road. And that's where they're at. So therefore, everything I'm teaching, they're saying, you're teaching baptismal salvation. No, because you got bad doctrine. That's what you think. But when you get right on the Bible, you'll figure it out. Because they'd agree with me. I mean, they'll agree with me. It's the rapture of the saints. What's a saint? See, we start answering these questions. When you start letting the Bible define it for you, what's it mean? I mean, who's 2 Thessalonians even written to? It's just believers in general. It wasn't written to a church. That's what they have to say. That's why they have to say a saint is just anyone that's saved. So when you got the wrong premise, you're going to end up all messed up. So they'll look at Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus, see, that's salvation. Look at this, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. See, if you're circumcised or uncircumcised, doesn't determine anyone can get saved. Amen, that's true. But guess what else? There's neither Jew nor Gentile, but church. There's Jew, Gentile, Church of God. I think it's 1 Corinthians 10:30. Jew, Gentile, and Church of God. That's it. You can be a saved Jew, you can be a saved Gentile, or you can be first class. Amen. You can be a Baptist and be part of the Church of God. And I'm not kidding when I say that. So they're going to say in Christ that salvation makes you a new creature. No, my baptism makes me a new creature. And when I say that, they're saying you're teaching baptismal regeneration. No, I'm not. But you've got your definitions are all corrupt. You don't believe what the Bible says. What does it mean to be in Christ? I'm raised to walk in newness of life. Isn't that something new? A new life? I'm a new creature. Okay, that's what it's talking about here. I hope you're understanding me. You're following me with this. Once we are in Christ, we're a new creature. And again, that's talking about being in His body. Now, it's a decision that you make to put off the old and to put on the new. It's choosing to die daily and walk worthy of His kingdom. Again, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Look, there it is again. We're members one of another. We're part of a body. He's telling them all over and over, I'm not speaking to lost people that need to get saved. I'm speaking to saved people who are a member of the church, and you need to put away lying. You need to put off the former conversation, the old man, and you need to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There it is. It's created in righteousness and true holiness, that new man. Why? Because you're in Christ. It's a picture of the washing away of your sins. I mean, that's another picture that baptism has. Baptism has so many pictures. It's not just like one thing. I mean, do you realize it's a picture of the resurrection as well? I mean, it's a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It's a picture of our death to the old man, raised to walk in newness of life, but also our resurrection that's going to happen. I mean, there's so many things. It's a washing, a cleansing. I mean, that's what it's picturing. Why? Because I'm saying I'm dead. I'm renouncing all that old stuff. It's washing away as I'm coming out. I'm done with that. I'm going to be a new man now. That's what it's saying. So it's choosing to die daily and to walk worthy of His kingdom. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, if you would, please. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. Now look, you're going to see the same thing again that I said earlier. Colossians 3, 9. Well, hold on, let me back up. Colossians 3, 1. Look at it. If, it asks a question. Or it's a if or, or if and, I'm sorry. Or if then, I'm sorry. If, meaning you don't have to be, it's a choice. Okay, if ye then be risen with Christ. Now, who's he talking to? To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. All right, so he's talking to a church, saints and faithful brethren. So even if you don't agree with me that a saint is a church member, anyone's going to say, well, he's talking to a saint, that's at least a saved person. Okay, here's what he says. If ye then, so he's talking to saved people, and if ye then be risen with Christ, what should you do? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead, and your life is hid with Christ. It's hid with Christ. Why would it be hid with Christ? Why would I have to be dead for my life to be hid with Christ? Now think about it. Why would I have to be dead for my life to be hid with Christ? Or for my life to be hid in His, in Him? Come on, I want you all to see it. If ye then be risen with Christ. When are we risen with Christ? At our baptism. Okay. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When are we dead? Tell me, when are we dead? At our baptism. Okay, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When we're risen. Okay, so what's it talking about? Baptism, church membership. I'm dead. That's I go in those waters dead. And then my new life, I come out. Who am I in now? I'm hid with Christ. Do you see it? Okay. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Okay, so if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. If you're risen with Christ, if you're a member of His church, is what He's saying. If you've been baptized, you're dead, so you need to seek those things that are above. All right, now get down to verse 9. So we know who we're talking to here, okay? It says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man with his deeds. Lie not one to another, okay? Why don't you lie to each other? Because what did we do? We've put off the old man with his deeds. Where? In our baptism. We're dead to the old man, okay? And have put on the new man. All right, now here it is, which is, look at this. We've put on the new man, which is what? Renewed in knowledge. There it is again. You got to be dead first. You got to be dead first, then you're renewed in knowledge. Look at, here it is again, after the image of Him that did what? Created Him. After the image of Him that created Him. We need to walk worthy of His kingdom. We don't lie, and there's other things about the putting off. Verse 5 says, mortify therefore your members, which means kill them which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Why? Because you've put off the old man with his deeds. You did walk in those at one time, but you put them off. Why? Because you died. And now you need to walk worthy of the kingdom. You put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. And you walk after the image, renewed in knowledge, after the image of Him that created Him. Whose image are we created in? God. Isn't this how God originally created us? Yeah, in the image of God, and it's all corrupted through Adam. We're not necessarily created in the image of God anymore. Now, I don't have a problem if someone says man's created in the image of God. Yes, we are, but yes and no. Because Adam was created in the image of God, we are created in the image of Adam. And there's a difference. Okay? So, yes, through our genealogy, we're created in the image of God, all right? I'm not saying that we're not, but I'm just saying, to be specific, we get the fallen mess. That's whose image we're created in. So now we need to be created in the image of God. Okay, and that's what this is talking about, and one day we'll be back to that, and we're striving for that, and this is what He's teaching us, and this is what He's showing us, and this is why we have the mind of Christ, and we can put off the old man, put on the new, we can renew him after the image of Him that created him. We look to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're trying to be like Jesus Christ. He's given us His word to do that, and this is time for us to learn how to do that. That's why church discipline is important, because you're not walking after the image of Christ. And you need to get that fixed. So then church discipline is necessary. And, I mean, on into the kingdom, the future kingdom, the thousand-year millennial reign. We're in it right now, you understand. But as we go forward, we'll be in that with Him here. And we will be kings and priests with Him. We'll serve with Him, and we'll be more and more like Him. And then eventually, when we see Him, we will be as Him, as He is. I forget the verse, but when we see Him, we shall be as He is. All right, we'll have that resurrected body is what it's talking about. Okay, so Are you living in the truth of what your baptism declares to everyone? Are you dead to the old man? Now, I don't think every one of us in here can always say, yes, I am. That's why we look back to it and we then put off these things because we don't always do it. All right? I'm just telling you, we don't. I mean, we just had some things happen within our extended family that got me in my flesh. So what do I have to do? I've got to go put off those things. See, that's what we have to do. That's how we have to continue to live. So why? So I can be renew my mind after the image of Him that created me. That's what we have to continue to live this way. This has to be a daily part of our life. This is why repentance for the Christian, it never stops. It never stops. We have to live in that. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Hey, remind yourself that you've been risen with Christ. And again, this is why Hebrews chapter 3 is so important. What we've hit on that and looked at that. But holding the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What is that? I keep going back and looking at my baptism where I declared to everybody, God included. I mean, that's why we sign the covenant, because it's an agreement between the person being baptized, the church body, and the Lord, that I am going to live up to this. I'm going to be dead to the old man. So I hold the beginning of my confidence steadfast unto the end. I have to go back and look at where my confidence started. And that started in the baptismal waters. So I go back to that and I look at it and I say, that's where I was dead and I need to hold fast to that. So I realize that and I say, I got to put off the old man then. And that's how we continue to keep living. Is that making sense to you all? All right, let's pray.